We are thankful for the privilege of introducing another Way of Truth broadcast. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We certainly invite you to stay with us. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting this service today, and we realize for our broadcast to be a blessing to this precious congregation, we need your help. So we humbly and sincerely seek thee in the precious name of Jesus, asking that you'll bless us, and through this broadcast, you will bless precious souls. You see each one who is in our congregation today. You know them, you love them, you are concerned for them. So bless each one. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In His Word, has invited us to cast all of our care upon Him, for He careth for you. So the Lord does indeed care for each and every one. Whatever your burdens, whatever your trials, whatever your problems may be today, may you rest assured that the Lord cares, and He's inviting you to cast your care upon Him. I'd like to invite you to visit our webpage, where you can listen to a number of our Way of Truth broadcasts and other services as well. Also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. That's www.wayoftruth.org. Also, if you'll go to our webpage Sunday morning at 20 minutes before 11, and 6 o'clock in the evening on Sunday, Eastern Standard Time, our regular services are broadcast there on the Internet. www.wayoftruth.org. On today's broadcast, I would like to speak on the thought, overcoming emotional problems. And we will read for our text of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, reading down through verse 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. According to Webster's dictionary, in regard to emotions, the state or capability of having the feelings aroused to the point of awareness. Any of various complex reactions with both mental and physical manifestations as love, hate, fear, anger, and so forth. Now, how we think influences our emotions. And I do want to emphasize that point. How we think influences our emotions. Anxiety causes depression. Paul said, be careful. And in other words, do not be anxious, do not be fretting, do not be worrying, do be anxious for nothing. And we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12 and 25, how that encouragement helps and causes happiness. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Yes, a good word maketh it glad. This is not to discount that some have physical problems which causes their minds to overreact to situations. However, for the majority, it is the way that we think that influences our emotions. Now, when Peter remembered what Jesus had told him about betraying him, you remember reading in the scriptures how that Jesus told Peter before the cock crow, twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And we read in Mark chapter 14 and verse 72 that whenever Peter remembered these things, when he thought on the things which Jesus had told him, he went out and he wept bitterly. Yes, when Peter remembered what Jesus had told him about betraying him, the Bible says, when he thought on these things, he wept bitterly. So our thoughts have a great deal to do with our emotions. After the resurrection, when the disciples were in the room with the door locked, Jesus appeared to them, and Jesus said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? So we read in Luke chapter 24 and verse 38, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? The thoughts that they were having is what was causing them trouble. Again, what we think about and what that which we are focusing our minds on influences the emotions with which we react. This is important because God teaches us that we have control over our thoughts. Yes, the scriptures teach us to cast down evil imaginations. And the psalmist prayed, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So it is important that we realize that God has given us control over our thoughts. Paul teaches us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, and I will not take time to read all of those verses, but Paul teaches us in these verses that we are not to walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, but be renewed in the spirit of our mind, having put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We are not to walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. No, we are to have the mind of Christ, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, through the grace of God, we do not have to entertain wicked thoughts. Again, the psalmist said in Psalm 19 and 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, part of the first and great commandment is to love God with all our mind. Yes, we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. So we read in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, many of the emotional problems for which people seek help for can be dealt with by changing their thought pattern. Let me repeat that. Many of the emotional problems for which people seek help for can be dealt with by changing their thought pattern. And at this point in our message today, I would like to read from one of E.E. Byram's books. E.E. Byram was a preacher and an author many, many years ago, and he relates an experience that he had that bears on the subject at hand. And the title of his little thought here is, Feeling as Bad as a Married Man. And as we go along, you'll see why he put that title on it. A man once came to me for spiritual help. He was much given to melancholy and pondering over the gloomy, somber things of life, too often out of sorts, nourishing ill feelings which led to dark forebodings that made his life miserable. Although trying to live a Christian life, the duration of his joyful seasons was generally very short. He blamed his wife for most of his dejected feelings and state of unhappiness. At this time, I was but a young man and unmarried. After trying to instruct and encourage him, he still seemed to feel that his was one of the worst and most helpless cases to be found. Upon being told that he could have a victorious Christian experience, even though his wife might be irritable, impetuous, and provoking at times, he was not inclined to believe that it was possible for him to have have happiness or to be in such a case. I said to him, I believe that I can feel as bad as you feel if I try. You cannot feel as I do, he said. Why can I not have just as bad a feelings as you have? Because you're not married. After giving all the assistance possible by way of advice and prayer, I left him somewhat encouraged. The next day was Sunday. The rain prevented our going to service. I decided that I would put the matter to a test and see if I could not feel as bad as a married man could feel. Upon going to my room, I first knelt in prayer and asked the Lord not to let me fall under the power of Satan. Upon entering the parlor alone, I sat down to meditate and to think of something that would bring bad feelings, but could not think of one thing to feel bad about. Having made a failure thus far in the attempt, I placed my elbows upon my knees, my hands over my face, and gave a deep sigh. Then another sigh, and really did begin to feel rather queer as I sat there with all my muscles relaxed, inviting misery and depression and troublous vexation. Just at that moment, there were footsteps to be heard of someone coming into the room, and a young lady entered. She was one of those meek, quiet kind, not given to inquisitiveness, but was attracted by my sighing and my face being covered with my hands as if in trouble. "Are you sick?" she asked. There was no response from me, and I did not remove my hands from my face. Again she asked the same question, but received no reply. Such discourtesy on my part made me feel mean and unscrupulous, and seemed to throw the door wide open for the entrance of miserable feelings. Again she ventured to ask, "Has someone offended you?" No reply was made to her question except a deep sigh. She began to cry and left the room. This made me feel worse than ever. I knew that she had gone to tell someone else. Soon I heard Mrs. A. coming, and I threw myself upon the couch with my face next to the wall and covered it with my hands. Approaching the place where I lay, she spoke to me, but received no answer. She then touched my arm and asked, "Are you sick?" There was no response. The tears were now coursing down my cheeks, and I seemed to be enveloped in a surging cloud of miserable feelings. She began to weep and again asked, "Has someone said or done something to offend you?" My silence caused her to leave the room with her feelings wounded. As soon as she left the room, I hastily closed the door and locked it, thus ignoring them and repudiating their kind, sympathetic efforts to console and comfort me in time of trouble caused a flood of deep gloom and depression to come over me, and infused my mind and my very being with dark, miserable gloom and foreboding, self-pity and commiseration. Upon going into my bedroom, I fell upon my knees, resisting the powers of darkness and depression, which came in like a flood, and prayed earnestly for the Lord to deliver me out of such condition. As I rebuked the powers of the enemy, it all passed away. Never since that time have I purposely tried to feel as bad as a married man. The lesson was one of great benefit to me. It convinced me that anyone can feel bad to the fullest extent if he so desires or places himself in an attitude to receive depressive feelings. Furthermore, one can, with the help of the Lord and a determined effort, rise above such things. Multitudes of people today are suffering under oppressions and the accusations of the enemy unnecessarily because they do not resist such powers and believe in our Lord to deliver and set them free. And that is from E.E. Byram's book, Life Experiences. And I found that quite interesting, and I trust that you did too. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encourages us not to be anxious. Anxious is a useless way of thinking. Worry will not change outcomes. And I've said numbers of times in preaching, whenever you find out how worry solves problems, you let me know. Because all I know about worry, it just makes matters worse. So anxiety is a useless way of thinking, and worry will not change outcomes. Since we cannot change matters by worrying, let us take our concerns to the one who can. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I'll repeat that. The words of Peter, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. At times there is the need of changing our thoughts. Now the Apostle Paul tells us how to overcome anxiety. And remember, Paul wrote these words while in prison. Yes, Paul wrote the little book of Philippians, or the letter to the Philippian church, while he was in prison. And if anyone had a cause for concern, he did. And of course, concern is one thing, and worrying and fretting is another thing. So there is a definite difference between being concerned about something. We all have things to be concerned about. We all have burdens. We all need to bear one another's burdens. But when it comes to anxiety, worrying, and fretting, then Paul tells us how to avoid that. Let us look again at our text of Scripture. This time, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And in this verse, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice." It's pretty hard to feel down and out whenever you are rejoicing. And beloved, we all have much to be thankful for. We all have much to rejoice in. Rejoice in the Lord and in the power of his might. So one of the things that we need to do to be able to overcome depression is to rejoice in the Lord always, he said. And again, I say rejoice. And then in verse 6 of our text today, in regard to not being worrying and fretting, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And certainly, Paul's instructions in this 6th verse tie in perfectly with Peter's words when he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And Paul says, for us not to be anxious, not us to be worrying and fretting, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then in verse 7, Paul said, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful promise? But it's a reality if we'll just take advantage of the grace of Almighty God and obey the Word of God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And again, let me read verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely or pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And if we will think on the things that Paul has enumerated here in this 8th verse of Philippians 4, we will certainly have a safeguard against the wrong kinds of emotions. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit accompany what has been said, and may hearts be benefited and blessed. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. It would be an encouragement to us this week if you would take time to write and let us know that you appreciate our broadcast. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And remember, you can listen to a number of our broadcasts, read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, and you can also be with us in our Sunday services if you'll go to our webpage at the proper time. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. Our Sunday morning service starts at 20 minutes to 11. Our afternoon or evening service starts at 6. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.